This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Ping.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Life Enhancement Medicine Hour, leading you down the road to optimal living with Dr. Kevin Wallace and Dr. Zahara Sundermeyer. The doctors will focus on the foundations of health and newfound therapies you may not even know existed. Come join us on the path to your optimal life. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Kevin and Dr. Zahara.
Hey, hello. Guys. Happy Thursday.
No, hello, hello, hello.
Hope everyone's enjoying their daylight savings hour switch. I know I am confused as to what time it is.
I know. Well, that's the thing that's bad. It's like, well, it's midnight and it's actually 11 in California. So
we don't know.
I'm supposed to go to bed. So
we're not sure what time zone we're in. Many of you might know that we live in two states. We are in Arizona currently, but we do also part-time live in California. Therefore, every month we're in two different time zones. But welcome to Life Enhancement Medicine Hour. I'm super excited to talk about today's show, Women and Hormones, What's Normal? But first, as always, if you ever have questions about our show or would like to call in and ask questions, you can do so at 1-844-390-8255. Again, yes. 844-390-8255. As you know, I'm Dr. Sundermeyer.
And I am Dr. Wallace, and you can also contact us through our email, info@infusionhealth.org as well. And so I think this is going to be a fantastic topic. So even though myself, I see a lot of females in regards to hormone, Dr. Sundermeyer is the shizzle, whatever.
Shizzling my nizzling
in regards to some of the hormones. So that's medical lingo. So she is very well adapt at helping all the females in regards to every stage of hormonal care. And so I'm excited because I get to be the Q&A guy.
We're swapping roles today.
You get to ask her all the questions. You guys can call in and ask questions. So
absolutely. As well as you can find out more information about us at infusionhealth.org, or you can find us on social media, Facebook Life Enhancement Medicine, or on Instagram at infusion_health. I guess that's with our name pages.
Yeah. And then our new website should be next month. Everything should be finalized in regards to our integrative telemedicine website. Our supplement line should be on up, just because we're going through formulation processes just to make sure everything's appropriate. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have different protocols for specific brain health and antioxidant and mitochondrial health and just
hormones
and hormone health for
women's
men and
hormones
females.
Health.
It'll keep you vital until the day you can't.
Till you're not vital anymore.
Correct. And that's usually when they either take you upstairs or whatever process that people believe in. So I think hormones are important because it's obviously one of the messenger systems. So, I mean, we see more and more people younger and younger that are obviously hormonal deficient, you know, depending upon the environment.
We're
all a ton of people, male and female. As they age, you know, health symptoms get a little bit maybe more important in regards to, it's like they're just sick all the time or they just don't feel as good. And a lot of times hormonal care comes in. And so I think there's some controversy out there because a lot of people just don't read the studies that it's actually extremely safe. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of what we do, especially Dr. Sundermeyer for females, is teaching them it's so safe. It's perfectly fine. We just have to keep better handle things and see you more often than it's like, here's hormones and I'll see you in a year, you know?
Well, and I think that's why I'm excited about today's show specifically, because on a consistent basis, I have women of all age groups, in, you know, the teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, and even postmenopausal that come in and go, oh, my periods have always been like that. I always thought that this was normal. I always thought everybody experienced their menstrual cycles like this. So today we want to talk about what is normal and also what things are going to negatively impact women when it comes to their hormones and their menstrual cycles specifically. And then obviously we'll slowly move through women and then we get to men, right? That'll be fun.
Men are easy.
I actually disagree with that statement completely.
You know, well, it's like we definitely have our issues.
Disagree.
So it's like, yes. So men, when I say men are easy, I think men are easier because a lot of times it's like nothing between different like men and women. Sometimes men are like, just give me what I need and I will follow.
This is true.
When you find out, like, just tell me what I need to do.
Many questions.
Correct.
When it comes to to women, yes. And when women always, I should say, have many questions, but yes. I think that that's obviously the biggest difference, which is also how they get their husbands correct. Involved.
Well, exactly. So it's like trying to pull questions, like trying to pull answers out of men. It's like, okay, what are the things might be going on? They're like, no. And so it's like, well, once you build rapport, it's good.
Once you figure us out a little bit.
Once you figure us out.
Now,
so
today,
with that being said,
I want to talk about what is a menstrual cycle.
That is my question.
Oh, okay. Ask the question. I'm ready.
So I was going to sit there. I'll sit and say, so Dr. Sunwire, since you are an expert in female hormones, so what actually is a menstrual cycle? Can you please explain that in regards to what a female goes through in regards to her menstrual cycle?
Well, absolutely. This is the one thing that I love teaching my female clients about, because this is the thing that can really help us determine whether some of the symptoms are hormone related and what hormone might be the issue, right? So a menstrual cycle is inclusive of the period itself, right? The actual menstruation, which is the terms we're going to start using. So we'll talk about terms today too, or, you know, the actual period. Day one of the period is day one of a menstrual cycle. But a lot of the times when I ask women, well, tell me how many days are in your cycle, they tell me, oh, 4 to 5. Well, on average, a woman's menstrual cycle that also includes the period portion or the menses is just the first portion of it, right? It's actually somewhere along the lines of 27 to 35 days as a whole, because it includes the period, the preparation for ovulation, the building of the lining of a woman's uterus, and then, of course, the ending, which is either conception or sloughing, which is, again, the next cycle. So we always start a menstrual cycle with day one of the period, right? And that is what is considered a cycle, which is, I think, important in terminology, especially if you're in a reproductive age and you're looking to actually try and have kids, you know, and not make it be an accident. Mm-hmm. Those are always happy accidents, those. But that is where we're considered an actual menstrual cycle, okay? So we're talking about everything through that month, on average, a month, right?
Okay.
And so that is what is considered normal. A good 4 to 7 days of a period or a menses, and then an average full cycle of 27 to 35 days. Now, commonly, we have women that hit about day 22 of their cycle, which is that second half of the cycle. And this is where issues tend to arise. This is where the concerns can always fall into play, right?
Okay.
And this is where PMS occurs. And a lot of women know about PMS because it's that very big, oh, are you going to start your period statement by mother, father, significant others, siblings, brothers, right? Are you going to start your period? Has anybody ever been told that before? I'm curious.
Well, I've definitely told other people. It's like, all right, what's going on? Because your mood has changed.
Your mood has changed. You might be more weepy. Mm-hmm. You might have more headaches. You might be exhausted. I mean, all of a sudden you're just exhausted and you can't quite figure it out. Your brain stops functioning as effectively. And then obviously the other side of things is you become extremely you get a lot of pain syndromes in your abdomen, your pelvis, your back, your legs. All of this is considered abnormal. So all these symptoms are actually symptoms of more modern age as opposed to symptoms of a natural menstrual cycle. And that's a big thing I think I really want to talk to women about today is that severe pain before a menses, severe cramping during a cycle, is actually an abnormal sign, and that this is something that really conventional medicine has decided birth control is the answer to, right? Oh, you have cramps? Here's your birth control. Oh, you have heavy menses? Here's your birth control. Oh, you have this. And then unfortunately that happens in the late teens or early 20s, and all of a sudden women have been on birth control for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then it's so hard to get them off of it, or fertility becomes an issue, right?
Mm-hmm. So with that being said, so let's say some of the younger people that we see in their mm-hmm. early 20s, what would you consider to be some of the overlying reasons why they have like either irregular, prolonged, heavy bleeding, mm-hmm. those types of things in regards to the menstrual cycle?
Well, today, it's definitely a generic statement, but today the biggest statement is estrogen dominance. Now, what's different with men versus women is that women have two primary hormones that make up their full cycle, right? And mm-hmm. in the second half of the cycle, which is where we tend to have the biggest issues, or in what's called the luteal phase, that tends to be where estrogen becomes a bigger issue. This phase should actually be progesterone dominant, and in turn, the majority of the time, it is estrogen dominant. Now, there's multiple different types of estrogen dominance, and we can get into that in a moment, but the biggest issue is, unfortunately, today is our environment. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that is the bigger concern, is we have what's called xenoestrogens, or foreign estrogens, right? Mm-hmm. And these can come from so many different arenas today. And I think probably the biggest culprit is plastic in today's society, because how many people on a consistent basis are drinking out of plastic water bottles mm-hmm. or heating food up in styrofoam or plastic containers, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, that's not even concluding the fact that I put makeup on, right? That we are dyeing our hair, that we are getting our nails done, right? That we like Febreze or other air fresheners in the home, and we're smelling all these scents, laundry detergent scents, dryer sheet scents, all of that in our clothes.
Correct.
So all of these things are actually affecting our natural estrogen, but also mimicking estrogen in our bodies. Mm-hmm. And that actually, I think, tends to be the biggest issue today. Mm-hmm. Is these external estrogens that are saying, ooh, this kind of our body goes, oh, this kind of looks like an estrogen molecule. Let me put it into an estrogen receptor.
Correct.
Right. And then all of a sudden we are angry and weepy and irritable, and I'm snapping at my husband, or I am yelling at my kids, and I cannot figure out why. Because really what they did is very normal for them, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. And like you said, a lot of females think that is normal because they might have had a parent or the mom
was similar. That way.
And so mm-hmm. she's similar. And I don't know what it's like to go ahead and get, because females go into as threes. So I don't know if a lot of females actually sit there and talk about, you know, it's like, well, mine is 28 days and I have no problem whatsoever. And then someone might go, well, mine is 35 and I just hate life. So maybe
right.
that is normal.
And well, so, I met a woman last week, actually, that came in because of hormone imbalances and severe pain. And mm-hmm. she finally said she had a conversation with a girlfriend of hers that she's known forever. And apparently her friend doesn't even know when her period's going to start, right? She just all of a sudden one day, oh, I'm starting my menses. Mm-hmm. And she has severe pain leading up to it, and then all of a sudden her menses starts and it all goes away. So she was like, oh, I that was why I like the idea of this talk even more, because she was the one that was like, you're the reason I want to do this talk. Because she was saying, I always thought that this was normal. I thought this was what all women experience. And that was like my exclamation point for excitement on this talk today.
Okay. And so, you know, it's one of those things I think Dr. Sundermar probably tells all of her clients as well, is to make sure you track and use software. And so is there any recommended apps or anything like that you would sit there and have your females utilize?
I do. So I require all women to start tracking their menstrual cycles. All doctors on average ask a female, what is the first day of your last menstrual cycle, or abbreviated LMP, last menstrual period, right? And the reason we want you to know that is because it starts to tell us what day of the cycle are you on currently, but also how consistently are you having menstrual cycles? Are you having a menses every month? Are you having a menses every 3 months? Because that is also something that we want to discuss. Again, an average menses should occur every 27 to 35 days in a normal cycle. Now, every woman's different, so it might be 32, it might be 33, or it might be 28. right? Mm-hmm. We average in medicine 28 days, but I always remind women that's just a textbook statement. Mm-hmm. I personally have been using the same exact tracker since I got a smartphone. I have no affiliation, but I love the one called Woman Log. It's literally called Woman Log. I can't describe it anymore. It has a flower.
Well, it's like I said, make things
easy. And I love it because I literally push a button and it says, oh, did you start your period today? Yes. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, did you end your period today? I hit end my period. But then in contrast, it also allows me to put in symptoms. I have breast tenderness. I have migraines. I have, you know, and you can go, oh, I have this today. And oh my goodness, look at that. I'm on day 26 of my cycle and I average 28 day menstrual cycle. So correct. Now I can go, oh, this is how I can talk to my doctor more. And I require women to start learning where they're experiencing their symptoms, because this is telling me right. where within their cycle is the issue arising. Is it after their period ends and all of a sudden they're having severe irritability? Correct. Is it mid-cycle right around ovulation where they get severe pelvic pain? Well, that's, you know, could that be ovulation cyst formation or like many follicles being formed and we work on polycystic ovaries? Mm-hmm. Or is that, again, closer to the end of the cycle just before the period restarts and the next cycle begins? And is that an estrogen dominant conversation, right?
Well, and also it's like, you know, following your menstrual cycle for a period of time gives us more data points as well.
Exactly.
In case of like, well, come and see me, here's 6 months and here's my symptoms. It's like, well, did you have higher stress? Did you have, mm-hmm. did you unfortunately go on a bender, mm-hmm. a bunch of Big Macs and Ho-Hos that obviously didn't feed proper fat into the system? Are you an athlete, you know, that doesn't have a whole lot of body fat to begin with?
Absolutely. Are you training for a marathon and all of a sudden you lost a bunch of weight? Exactly. Because that's all good information as well. And we ask about this. Well, when did you start noticing these symptoms start to occur? Mm-hmm. And this is where women start looking back on life and, oh, I got really sick, or, oh, this happened, or, mm-hmm. oh, I got a divorce. That's a big one that I've been hearing recently, you know, like just severe shifts in relationship status, mm-hmm. where all of that stress ever since then is a big statement. My hormones have been different or et cetera. Mm-hmm. I spoke with a woman today and basically everything shifted after her third child. And I always tell women, well, that's because you formed a child in your body, mm-hmm. which means all of your resources went into that. So correct. When women come out of it, it's like it's a deficiency conversation at that point, right? The hormone dysregulation, the energy, all correct. Of those.
Yeah. And it's one of those things of stress, because, you know, we talk about, I think, at our beginning, a lot of our talks, you know, which we'll probably get into more, there's such a thing as called a progesterone steal.
Yeah.
The body can actually have to, well, I need cortisol more than I need progesterone because I need to fight or flight. Mm-hmm. You know, I need to fight, or I just need to rest, or I need to lay down and die.
Absolutely.
And so the body steals progesterone and it goes more to cortisol, and you can have an estrogen dominance.
Exactly.
And so that might indicate that you actually have a low estrogen, but you still have it high enough or higher than the progesterone. That still means you're estrogen dominant. It doesn't have to always be that I'm just superiorly high. It just means that you can actually have deficiencies in progesterone.
Correct. Well, and that's the big thing too, is like I was saying before, there are three or four different types of estrogen dominance, right? Mm-hmm. There's normal progesterone levels with extremely high estrogen out of the normal range, right? In that second half of the cycle. And we commonly get labs on day 20 to 22 of the menstrual cycle. If a woman has a 28 to 30 day cycle, that's kind of my rule of thumb. If they have a longer cycle into the 30s, then that day switches a little bit. And then we talk more about symptoms, et cetera. But really what I have them notate is like, okay, so this during this peak, we should see a certain balance, but what is your estrogen dominance looking like? So again, normal progesterone, really, really high estrogen out of the normal range, or is it high estrogen in the range, but low progesterone in the range, right? So again, still an estrogen dominance, even though they're normal. And this is my most frustrating thing is this one, because they're both normal, but every other doctor that a patient has seen before me goes, oh, well, you're fine. There's good. Nothing wrong with you.
Correct.
And that I'm just like, well, no, because they're completely imbalanced. You know, if you're going to have a midline progesterone, you need a closer midline estrogen. If you're going to have a really high estrogen, you need a really high progesterone to balance it out. And it works something like that, right? Just in the simplest terms. And then the last type of estrogen dominance is, and this is the one that's the hardest to work with, because you don't know, because they're still presenting with estrogen dominant symptoms. And this is why I always determine, am I going to help treat estrogen elimination and metabolism now, or are we going to wait for labs? This is where I'm always playing this teeter-totter game when I meet with women. Mm-hmm. Do you have absolutely perfect and normal estrogen, right? And like Dr. Wallace was saying, do you have now low progesterone because of high stress environment, because you are a lawyer or a insurance broker and you work 30 hour days if they were existing. I have women that answer the phone at 6 a.m. all the way up until 10 p.m. And I'm just like, no, well, you're not going to have progesterone around, like he was saying, because we don't care that you reproduce. Our body could care less if it reproduces, but what it needs to do is be able to handle stress.
Correct.
And that's where the cortisol thieving comes into place. I think thieving is a nice word because that's really what happens, right?
And I think that's where sometimes where it's easier to treat men, because there's still some of those roles where a female wants to go ahead and be an entrepreneur.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's like if they do have children, you know, in today's society, it's still, you know, females come home and they do the majority of the cooking, those types of things. They somewhat keep the household appropriate, because if a man was in charge, all the kids would just be swinging from ropes and
well, at least you can
doing crazy stuff still safely.
Safely.
Still safely.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But we'd be trying to make rockets and maybe doing some things that, you know, are just not, might be the most safe. And so, you know, a man's role, you know, I have to, you know, supply a living. I come home, you know, I do some things. But mm-hmm. I think with a female, there's so many other avenues why what's going on. And so, again, with Dr. Sundermeyer and myself, it's like you have to work on all of that. It's like sometimes we have to tell the females, what do you have to give up? You know, you're going to have to give up something. You might have to say no to people. You might have to not start that second entity or a third entity or other business for a while until it feels like I'm 100% healthy to survive whatever needs to happen. So now in the segue to testing, so obviously we talked about day 21, 22.
Right.
What other testing do you might use to have more specificity in regards to hormone testing?
Well, I think I don't want to be negative, but a frustration, I should say, is women will come in and say, oh yes, I had my hormones tested by my doctor. And I'm like, great, let's see them. And I'll go, where were you in your menstrual cycle? And they'll go, oh, I don't know. I just went, they told me to go. They told me to go. And I was like, okay.
Yes.
So I get a little, And then we have to redo them, which is always a frustration. But there are two times in the menstrual cycle that labs should be done. And depending on the woman will depend on what labs I run.
So this So this is blood lab. So we'll talk about saliva.
That's why I said depending.
Okay. All right.
So if I just think that this is a hormone imbalance component and not an adrenal gland cortisol response concern, I'll just check all of the hormones. I like checking all of women's hormones because it gives me a lot more information. So the hormones that I like checking are estradiol on day 20 through 22. Again, we'll say that second half luteal phase blood work. Estradiol, progesterone, right? Two primary hormones for women. I also like checking free and total testosterone. I like this because it's going to tell me, is there a possible PCOS underlying, right? But it's also going to tell me, how are you downstreaming into estradiol? This is important as well, because what if you're missing cofactors that just allow the movement to occur, right? It also is going to run DHEA, because when DHEA spikes, there's a couple associations. One, PCOS, but two, high stress life. This can also help me support the woman as well, right? We also like to check FSH and LH. These are your pituitary hormones, meaning the brain signal down to the ovaries that say, hey, make your hormones, right? Those are the big ones that I really like to check if we're looking at hormone imbalance, and then always a morning cortisol. The morning cortisol helps me kind of create a little bit of information about the way the woman is handling stress and where the fatigue state might lie, or in contrast, where the stress level might lie. Because then in further, if I see that, say, for instance, a normal morning cortisol, I want to see somewhere between, let's say, 16 and 18, and all of a sudden she's at 27, which I've seen recently. I'm going to go, oh, this is your problem, right?
Correct.
This is where we have to focus more of our treatment, because you're in a constant fight or flight state. Again, back to the statement, your body doesn't care if you can reproduce, because if you don't have enough stress balance and ability to manage it and resources to make cortisol, well, then living is a correct. Pretty big difficulty. So this is a big part of the way we work. Mm-hmm. Now, well, that is a day 20 to 22, right?
Okay.
In future, I would probably check a salivary cortisol panel for this woman as well to be able to check what does the rest of the day for her look like, because that gives us snapshots at different times of the day, and then we can make a better graph, right? Mm-hmm. Not just that first morning.
Mm-hmm. And so again, so you know, with the people that we see, we do all individualize. So if a female comes in and we possibly suggest he has metabolic syndrome, okay. those types of things. So we also add in different things like insulin. You know, mm-hmm. all those things are important. So again, so we stress a lot in finding more data points, but it all depends on what the female comes in with and what they represent with in that regards. So,
right. And so this is a very generic conversation about labs and hormones on a day 20 to 22, depending on cycle length, which mm-hmm. we kind of gave that little caveat, but it's, you're completely right. I mean, I might have a woman who's also dealing with severe weight gain, and she can't figure it out why, but she also has all these hormone imbalances. And yes, insulin is going to be really important, and maybe C-peptide as well, to tell us how is your glucose levels working. Obviously, checking a fasting glucose level is going to be really key as well, because we can find what's called a HOMA-IR, or just the average of insulin resistance, or how present is insulin resistance in this individual, because this will allow us to better clean up the diet. And yeah. Obviously, secondary diet plays a huge role in the way women balance hormones, because mm-hmm. if they're dealing with a lot of sugar, a lot of processed foods, primarily boxed and canned, et cetera, right?
Correct.
They're getting way more things that can affect the way they're producing their hormones. So when we clean up the diet, we get them better B vitamin sources, get our better fatty acids, the body just starts to work better, and mm-hmm. we require less and less on supplements and less on nutrients to balance their system out. And they can do it because they're eating better and they're taking correct. Better care, and they're drinking out of glass and not plastic.
Correct. And so it all boils down to our first talk, I think, which was the foundation.
The foundation, definitely look back at that one. If you're feeling like there's a dietary shift that needs to take place. Absolutely. Good call, Dr. Wallace.
Yeah. And so all those things play an important role. So now a female comes in mm-hmm. and you're suspecting something's really happening through her cycle that maybe yes. you're not able to check out day 21.
No.
What other testing might be out there to help a female out, or what do you go ahead and would like to run on a patient that has those?
Well, that's, mm-hmm. I think, a little bit of a different conversation, because you don't check progesterone on day 2 or 3 when you're dealing with a woman that has menstrual cycle dysregulation on those days, because mm-hmm. you're going to check it and it's going to be 0. It should be pretty low at that point in time, right? I think less than 1 is the goal range for a day 1 through, I think it's like 13, mm-hmm. day 1 through 15 follicular phase lab. So I don't always check progesterone, but the ones that I primarily like to check at that time are going to be estradiol, estrone, FSH, and LH, because really this is an estrogen dominant arena right now. This, at day 3, we hope to start seeing a slow spike in estrogen, because estrogen is actually what's going to encourage maturation of your follicles, or our, you know, soon to be ovulation egg, right? And so when we're checking this time of the cycle, we're really looking specifically at where is your estrogen levels lying? And we obviously have to take a really great history, because say, for instance, I have a woman in front of me that has severe, heavy flooding is a good way to call it, where she's in the bathroom every hour changing a tampon and a pad because she's flooding, right? And I know that this is a very big statement on a radio show, but I think it's important to realize that this actually happens to women, right? And so that's where we're looking at estrogen there, but we're knowing there's probably a progesterone deficiency happening. What the reason is, we need to determine that in that luteal phase. Because remember, progesterone is what's maintaining the lining of your uterus. You don't have enough progesterone hanging out, that lining is just going to keep building and building and building and building. And then your body eventually has to get rid of it, right? Mm-hmm. And so again, that's where I think a thorough individual conversation really does come into play with a woman.
Okay. So with that, I know that's one of the signs and symptoms of possibly an unhealthy menses or right. menstrual cycle. So what other things will females experience in a sense of an unhealthy menstrual cycle?
Well, That's a very broad question, so we'll probably Q&A this one a little bit. But an unhealthy menses, the actual period itself, is going to be discoloration of the blood, right? The blood should be a nice bright red, right? We're also going to notice a lot more blood, like we said, the flooding conversation. And it's going to even last longer than that natural 7 days. It might be a 9 to 12 day of bleeding itself. Mm-hmm. That's going to be really, really important to take note of. And it's going to be important to check labs in an individual like this, not only at day 2 or 3, but also on day 20 to 22, because we have to find out where is the concern taking place. Is it a progesterone conversation, or is it that you're just building, you just have too much estrogen going on through the entire cycle, right?
Okay.
And then obviously, I think one thing that I hear women talk about a lot as well is severe cramping and just pain during the menses itself. Commonly, I hear women say, oh, I start my period and all of a sudden all my symptoms resolve and I feel so good and I feel like I've lost, you know, I'm losing my weight and I'm losing the bloating and I feel a better energy when the menses starts. But when the menses is taking place and there's that severe cramping and severe pain and everything, that's where we also want to talk about what's going on within the whole cycle itself.
Right. Okay. All right. So obviously, you know, we talk about blood testing. And mm-hmm. So I know there are other testing in regards to the use of saliva.
Yes.
In regards to finding out maybe more data points. So can mm-hmm. you explain the role of saliva? So let's say you have a patient that you've done blood lab testing, they're still having issues and you want to find out more about the whole cycle. Is there any
specific
testing to sit
there? Well, there's a couple different types of salivary tests that I actually do use interchangeably depending on the case. And this tends to be associated with women that have really non-specific menstrual cycles and they don't know when their next one is going to start because it's super irregular. We use 11-point salivary testing through a cycle. So I basically send them home with 11 tubes to fill up with saliva. And we get points on each of those days. So I have them run a test every 3 to 4 days, depending on how long their last cycle was. And we get points through the entire menstrual cycle, which I think is amazing because it can kind of tell us, and I actually, I have a case about this we can talk about in a minute, but it actually can tell us, well, is it a progesterone defect? Is it an estrogen defect? Is it that you're not making any progesterone when you're making estrogen? And it can actually give us a nice, awesome, you know, 30 to 40 day graph, depending on the woman, of what the cycle and the hormones are looking like as they fluctuate in and out. So that is one that I love to do. We also do day snapshots for women, which tell us estrogen and progesterone levels, morning and evening cortisol levels, morning and evening melatonin levels, because it talks to us about what's going on in a woman's day. Mm-hmm. That we can really support adrenal-wise, circadian rhythm-wise, but also hormone-wise, right?
Okay. So what other, I know we talked about other signs and symptoms. So a typical patient comes into you and you don't even suspect maybe having menstrual issues. So let's say a woman comes in and she has headaches or she mm-hmm. has fatigue. Right. So explain what might be happening with those in regards to the menstrual cycle and trying to maybe tie them together.
Yeah, absolutely. So really this is when this tends to happen and women come in with nondescript symptoms, whether it's headaches or fatigue or anxiety, we talk about how does it occur? How long do you experience it for? Do you get a 3-day headache and you get it once a month? Or do you get a 3-day headache every week, right? Because that is actually going to help us determine, is it hormonal or not? It could obviously also be digestive. It could be food sensitivity-wise. It could be environmental. It could be heavy metal and toxins. But in order to really determine if it's a cyclical concern, we tend to discuss, well, what's going on and how does it occur? And that goes back to the idea of really important tracking.
Correct.
That's where tracking the menses is really coming into play, because women that haven't been trained or taught to track their cycles, they basically come in and they get stuck learning how to do that. It's the way the world works in my clinic. And I'm assuming with your patients as well, like it's a lot of education about, well, you have to start being aware of this because this is how I help you and how you help me make this process better, right? It's a 50-50 conversation that we like to take. Mm-hmm. And that is where I think it's really important is that, so if you haven't started tracking your menstrual cycle and you think it's a menstrual cycle issue, download an app that's free. I like mine. I already told you which one I like. And they're free. Like you don't have to pay for all the bells and whistles. You just throw it on your phone and say yes, no. And here's a happy face. Here's a sad face. Here's a cramped face. Right. And it makes it so much easier because at that point, then you're going to come in and go, I've been tracking my cycles. And I'll be like, you've saved us months of work together.
Oh gosh. Yes.
You know what I mean? And so if you're hearing this right now and you're going, that's me, you're going to download yourself an app. I like WomanLog. I have no affiliation with them, except I've been using it probably for about 10 years now. Mm-hmm. Again, since I got a smartphone. And start making a note of what's going on within your system, because the more you come in with information, the more I am able to help you that day versus going, okay, well, let's start tracking today. And then when you start your next period, you call me and then we make a treatment plan, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's what I always get frustrated about is we get a dead end at that point because we have to learn some more information and get some more data points, right? It is a data collection conversation mm-hmm. when we come into dealing with hormone imbalances and such.
Okay. So, you know, I know you talked about possibly some patients. So let's say a patient comes in, you take it through the intake.
Okay.
And then you go ahead and you do the testing. So what kind of things do you want her to start right off the bat in regards to nutritional?
Right off the bat. Nutritional. Yeah. Right off the bat, I give everybody B-complex and probably flaxseed oil. Just realistically, I have found more and more that women tend to do better with plant-based essential fatty acids that contain 3, 6, and 9 than I have found that women do with omega-3 alone. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it works better. I think it's because of the way it works with hormone balance and estrogen balance, specifically with flaxseed oil. I also like combinations of like evening primrose, borage oil, and flaxseed oil. There's a product that we like to use that I've actually fallen in love with, and B vitamins. It's amazing the modifications that a woman will experience with 2 nutrients.
Correct.
Right?
Well, I think also with the fatty acids, it feeds into the prostaglandin cascade. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times with cramping, they can have higher prostaglandins. Those oils, the omega-3s and omega-6s, feed into those prostaglandin pathways, can shut them on off. That's how, like NSAIDs and ibuprofen and stuff like that, which is one of the typical things that most PCPs will go ahead and say, well, it's something like that, because it obviously stops some of the prostaglandin pathways in regards
to... But I also think it encourages movement of the pathways, and encourages better elimination out of the liver and out of the kidneys as well with both of those components. It also encourages healthier estrogen production, production from cholesterol into, pregnenolone, hormone, hormone names, must learn, right? And so that is kind of what I've found works better than just an omega-3 conversation alone.
Okay.
So that's kind of those are my biggest, most favorite go-tos. Now, say I have a woman that has come in and she has old labs. And those old labs, because her doctor did them and we finally figured out the day that her labs were drawn, and they tell me that her estradiol, not just estrogen is a non-discriminant statement, but estradiol specifically is 450, because I've seen that. And I don't have a progesterone because for whatever reason they don't check progesterone. I will probably put a woman on an estrogen metabolizer as well while I wait for the labs based on where the cycle is, et cetera.
So with that incorporated, you know, obviously an estrogen metabolizer. So what I'm finding out with a lot of nutrition, people don't eat enough vegetables. So what kind of things in regards to what class of vegetables, what kind of things do you have females start to eat?
Brassica. I can just be general, right? Brassica family vegetables. I want them to eat more broccoli. We all love broccoli, right? Cabbages. Brussels sprouts. I want them to eat more dark leafy greens, especially because those are really high in good B vitamins as well. And then I want them to get more legumes in. Those tend to be the 3 categories of food plus increased fatty acid content. So I have them encourage once a week eating a wild caught salmon or sardines or anchovies if you can palate them. those tend to be my go-tos. Once a week, I encourage a woman to eat fatty acids because it does help support natural pathways and better cholesterol production, healthier cholesterol balance, but in turn, your cholesterol is what makes your hormones, right? All of your hormones are made from cholesterol, which I think we all don't give cholesterol enough love. No. So I'm going to give it a ton of love right now, right? Mm-hmm. Eat healthy cholesterol. Cholesterol is not bad, right? You need it to make your estrogen, progesterone, your testosterone, your DHEA, your cortisol, and aldosterone, which controls your blood pressure. So eat your good fats. Now, there are crappy fats out there. So we talk about what's the difference between a good and bad fat. We're really specific about, you know, cooking with avocado oil, safflower oil, grapeseed oil, which have high heat temperatures. You'll notice that I didn't say anything about olive oil because olive oil actually only has a temperature. What is it called? A smoke point up to 350 degrees. You know how hot your pan gets when you're cooking? It's higher than 350. Or think about if you put something in the oven at 375 to lightly bake, well, you've already hit the smoke point for the olive oil. So you've actually made that oil a bad oil. So if you're baking, if you're cooking, if you're anywhere above 350, a quick saute, go for it. Fry a quick egg with olive oil, no big deal. But that's one egg and the pan is just barely hot and hot. You flipped, you're done, right? But if you're cooking multiple at back to back to back, then you're just going to burn the fat. You burn the oil. And then that's an issue down the road as well.
Correct. Okay.
Olive oil tends to do better as a drizzle after the fact for flavor, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. It's like, I remember the good old days of Olive Garden.
Olive Garden, olive oil.
No. Those days are long gone.
They are.
It's just like, here's the endless bread at Texas Roadhouse.
Although I do love their endless salad. I love their salad dressings at Olive Garden. I will say that I do like that. I'll go eat endless salad, but their breadsticks get me into trouble, so I avoid it at all costs.
Right. So again, from a naturopath or from a standpoint of obviously treating people, it's like there's a lovely thing called seed cycling as well.
Yeah.
So I've had good results with seed cycling.
Takes some definite motivation.
It has to take a motivated client.
But it's compliant.
I'm trying to be compliant. Nice.
I know. So, someone that listens to everything you say.
Correct. But the concept with that is like same thing. So seeds carry oils. Oils will go ahead and carry different, like I said, constants.
Messengers.
Yeah, exactly.
They work as more messenger systems. So yeah, we do seed cycling. And I do it with specific cases when I'm trying to bring a woman's cycle back into regulation. So again, say for instance, I have a woman in front of me and her menses occur every 2 to 3 months. Well, I'm going to seed cycle someone to support trying to bring it back into a 35-day menses. I'm going to try and bring it down to the closest thing of normal that I can. So if she's moving into 60, I'll actually start shifting her down into, you know, 50-day cycles. And then eventually we'll start bringing her down into 40-day cycles. And then eventually we'll pull her into 30-35-day cycles to try and get her brought into that monthly regulation. So we don't try and push you right off the bat into going from a 60-day cycle to a 30-day cycle. That would be painful, to say the least. That would actually cause a lot of hormone shifting, a lot of severe pain and everything. And that's something that I see a lot of people do a lot, is they try and push too quickly in a body, right? We also don't throw the sink at you, right? I think that's important. I see women that come in and they're like on 60 products. And I'm like, but why are you on all these products? These could be the reason why your liver's so congested and your hormones are so backed up, right? Think about a really big traffic jam and an accident. Your liver is the accident because it's dealing with all of the supplements. Mm-hmm. Now your body's trying to eliminate or get all those cars out of the way, right?
Correct.
So that's really important.
So now, so in your experience of being a naturopathic doctor, so give us some examples of, let's say, a teenager that you've
done. Yeah, so I have worked with a young lady for years now who used to have natural menstrual cycles when she was in her early teens, when she was more athletic and swimming. But when she got out of high school, I met her, I think, at 18. And she started going from having average, you know, 27, 29-day menstrual cycles to bleeding for almost a month or more. And so realistically, she was probably one of my more difficult clients initially, and not because she was difficult, but because you know, when you're dealing with someone that's bleeding that length of time, you're dealing with so many different variables. You're dealing with severe fatigue. You're dealing with severe anemias. You're dealing with, do you need a blood transfusion? You're dealing with repetitive CBC testing to look at red blood cell values. So she was difficult in the sense that we had so many different things to consider for her because she'd already been to the hospital so many times that she, you know, for blood basically, because she was so anemic. So that was probably one of my hardest cases that I've dealt with thus far. We started her with seed cycling, but then we worked on going, well, sometimes in that moment, well, she's actually the woman that I did a 11 spot salivary panel on. And what we found is through two different cycles, she'd never made progesterone. She would get the slightest elevation in progesterone, but would never really make it. And so for her, I chose to not only seed cycle, I actually oil cycled with her as well, meaning the first part of the month she took these supplements, the second half of the month she took these supplements, and I also added in progesterone. Mm-hmm. Because for her, it was also she was a huge risk of fainting and passing out and injuring herself because of how low her red blood cells would get and how low her hemoglobin was getting. Mm-hmm. And so I chose to go with progesterone with her right off the bat because, well, I wouldn't say right off the bat. I would say about 3 months in, mm-hmm. once we started understanding what was really going on with her cycles, because when I met her, she was bleeding for, I think, 30 days. Correct. At that point. And we're like, okay, so let's check labs. Let's see what's going on. We had to get some emergency stat CBCs for her just to go, how anemic are you? Obviously lots of iron supplementation. And that's obviously something that I think is important that a lot of women that are menstruating mm-hmm. are on an iron supplement because you're losing iron every month, right? Correct. So that's a big depletion point with menstruating women. Mm-hmm. But for her, it took us about eight months to get her finally cycling monthly. So it's not like, oh, we start a program and 2 months later, you feel awesome. Correct. No, it takes time to shift the way the hormone conversation works if you choose to do it without a birth control. And correct. The one thing I always remind people is the second you put a birth control in place, all you're doing is putting a mask on the symptoms. Mm-hmm. Because when you come out of it, your hormones are still going to be doing what they've been doing all correct. Along.
And you might have an extremely high rebound effect. Where it's like, now your body is going, wow, I don't have this synthetic that's actually stopping off a natural process.
Correct.
Now it's going to go ahead and come back tenfold.
Correct.
Correct.
So that's probably one of my more severe cases that I've been working with. And I still see this young lady and she's fantastic. And we've done awesome work and she's done awesome work. And, you know, I remind women when I'm working with them, I'm just giving you the tools. It's your responsibility to take them and run. Correct. Right. So I think that's a huge importance as well.
Okay. So now with that being said, I know we talked about in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So what are the three things that your clients can do just to possibly go ahead and help on out with their menses? Like if you were given a talk in a group and it's like you would sit there and say, these are the three things I want my females to do mm-hmm. before, you know, obviously I'd love to go ahead and see them as a patient.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and obviously these three things don't work for people depending on the severity of,
correct.
Of the situation. But the three things that you can do right now is to remove scents and plastics from your home. I think that's the easiest thing. Because, I mean, every now and then, cool, wear your perfume. Every now and then, go out and get your nails done. Mm-hmm. But if you can pull out air fresheners, laundry detergent scents, dryer sheet scents, what is that stuff called? It's a softener scents, right? And all of the plugins that have artificial scents to them.
Horrible.
Not to mention all the respiratory issues that go along with it and all the asthma and allergies and headaches, etc. But if you have one thing that you can do in your home is remove scents and remove plastics, right? Mm-hmm. And so obviously that means drinking out of stainless steel or glass.
Correct. And I will second that because all my guys... the mm-hmm. same thing. So these are xenoestrogens that will obviously interfere with testosterone. And so it's as hard as it can be to go ahead and sit and say, well, we have to use natural diffusers possibly, or just make your house a clean environment with air filters. Those scents that are chemicals and they smell fantastic, they have to smell for a reason. And that is because of, unfortunately, a chemical that correct. Over time will accumulate in your system and create mm-hmm. one hell of a damage. Because from the day that we are born, mm-hmm. we can wear scented diapers. They get what was the Snuggle? I hated that commercial. The bear that was jumping the blanket. And he had laughed at us. Yeah, I think he was laughing at us because he knows we're going to be unhealthy. Later on, he's like, ha ha, I got you. You know, in that regard. So those things are just horrible.
Correct.
And so, you know, we heat bottles up, unfortunately, in the hot water, you know, in regards to the baby drinking out of it. So from day one.
Day one, they're getting estrogens. They're also getting estrogens in all of the everyday milks as well. Right. So you're giving a young man and a young woman, or, you know, infants and toddlers milk. Make sure that it's hormone free, because you're actually making young ladies start their menses early at 8 or 9 versus 12-ish, 13, which should be their average, right?
Yep.
And so that I think is really, really important as well. So yeah, plastics are a big deal, whether they're 6 months old or whether you're 60 years old. That's huge. 60, then, 70, 80.
Correct. And then I think understanding eating from the dirty dozen and the clean 15. So understanding that certain foods will have pesticides on it, and those pesticides are endocrine disruptors. That's how they kill a bug.
Yeah.
You know, that small amount will kill a bug. It doesn't necessarily kill us, but we accumulate that over time, and now we can have extremely poor health. So look for your food choices as much as you can. Choose organic, grass-fed, grass-finished beef, because in a tendency, I know people are vegans and vegetarians, but if you have a cow that's fed upon grass, finished on grass, it actually has a very good fatty acid profile.
Absolutely.
Not agribusiness meat, those types of things. And so the third thing I think is actually exercise. For me, it's exercise.
I would say for me, it's not always exercise. So I might disagree with you on this one. I like the Dirty Dozen Clean 15. I always tell people to follow it. That is a thing. It's probably not my second one. So we'll probably disagree with 2 and 3. But that's the joys, I think, of each individual practitioner as well, is that we all have things that we find are really, really important. For me, it's getting in food forms or a good B vitamin supplement. I would probably pick that over over exercise any day of the week if we're dealing with hormone dysregulation. Because with hormone dysregulation, ultimately, if you have a progesterone deficiency, you want someone to exercise, you're pulling cortisol, right? So there's this balance between life and exercise that, until I see your labs, I'm probably not going to tell you to go to the gym very often, and especially if you're coming into me and you're stressed out beyond all belief because you're a lawyer or a broker or you have 5 kids. Yes. I'd be like, no, let's just chill. Like walking after food, awesome. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's probably going to be a really healthy B vitamin because I don't think humans in general get enough B6. I don't think humans in general get enough B2 or B1. I think we all think B12 is like the end all be all cure, but I find that everybody needs B6, especially if there's a hormone conversation going on. And so I actually find that as a huge importance. And I would take this moment to say, it's not all about B12 when it comes to energy,
It's the whole complement of everything.
Absolutely.
So again, our vegans and sometimes vegetarians are going to be deficient in B12. And so making sure they take the methyl form.
Correct.
All right. And so then, go ahead.
And then I think for me, last but not least, is fat. Eat better fats. I think if I could tell you to do 3 things today, would be remove those xenoestrogens, get it. And I will tell you, you can go to any health food store, grocery store, you're going to get really crappy B vitamins. So just
contact us.
you can find them on our website shortly when we get our new one going. But that's going to be important. And I think fat, eat your healthy fats. Know what's healthy, know what's not. Avoid those vegetables and canola oils, and get good avocado and safflower. Costco, right? Costco does great things when it comes to inexpensive, healthy fats.
So with all the females, those types of things, setting an appointment with Dr. Sennemeyer, because this is important. So this leads into infertility, which Dr. Sennemeyer will probably do a talk as well. So if we have females have very improper periods from the time they start,
right,
they might have missed problems with conception. They might have, obviously, like you said, depression, that unfortunately they get put on medications that not necessarily they need to be on medications. So these things are implicative in everything that can happen later on in life, because hormones run the show. Okay. There's all other things they do, but our hormones have to be in balance in order for us to feel in balance.
Right.
For us to go ahead and have a proper stimulus to our stress, for us to go ahead and handle our husband that's yelling at us, or anything like that.
Absolutely. So
but you know, have the people, like I said, if you have issues, you can contact us anytime.
Yeah. We're so, thank you so much for listening to our show today.
At info@infusionhealth.com. Or they can give us a call.
He likes talking over me and I like talking over him.
So we talk over each other. So what was the thing? We'll have to, next time we'll tell him about the handful.
We're going to work. He's handsome.
And I'm handsome, and together we're a handful.
This is the truth. Thank you so much for listening to our talk today on part one, Women's and Hormones, What's Normal. You can learn more about us on our Facebook page. That's called Life Enhancement Medicine. You can also follow us on Instagram at @infusion_health to learn more about what we do and ask us questions. Our website is infusionhealth.org, and our new website, hopefully, but will be up in December, is going to be called integrativetelemedicine.com. And this is where you'll find more of our e-commerce store coming, some really cool peptides that we're going to start selling on our website that are really cool sprays, which I've been using and have been amazing. And I've lost 3 pounds in a week and I'm astonished. Mm-hmm. That's just another whole story altogether. If you have questions or would like to schedule an appointment, you can do so at info@infusionhealth.org. I'm Dr. Sundermeyer.
And I am Dr. Wallace, and
we
will see you later.
Are at Fusion Health. Bye, you guys.
You've been listening to the Life Enhancement Medicine Hour with Dr. Wallace and Dr. Sundermeyer, bringing the power of health to your listening ears. You can learn more by visiting infusionhealth.org. That's infusionhealth.org. Follow them on social media and join the movement to better health.
At Circle K, we want to make things a little easier every day. These are uncertain times, and we know you're relying on us. Don't take unnecessary journeys, but if you need us, we're open, and we're going that extra mile to ensure we're clean and we're fully stocked. Take care from Circle K.
Wait, are you sure it's on?
Positive.
Wow, it's really quiet.
Yeah, that's Daikin, all right. And it does it all with less energy than your old system.
HVAC sure has come a long way.
Inverter technology from Daikin uses 30% less energy than traditional non-inverter systems. So while your home is cooling, your energy bill gets even cooler. Daikin, air intelligence.
Contact ACS Air at 520-200-8207 for a free at-home estimate. License number 111230.